This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Of the role model, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam indeed was the perfect human being. And it's not true that he was always sad and contemplating and thinking of the hereafter, because this is inhumane. The Prophet ﷺ was the perfect balance. He used to be sad and he used to be happy. Whenever there is a reason to be sad, he used to be sad. And when there was a reason to be happy, he was happy. He was pleased when things needed to be pleased with, and he was angry when he needed to be angry. As a perfect human being, he was filled with emotions. And he used to become happy at times. Yet his happiness was in the direction of what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal, and not for worldly matters. We are happy when we buy a new car, a new gadget, when we receive gifts, worldly things. This was not the case with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we will list few things just to understand how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam lived his life and what made him happy, so that we may rejoice with such things when it happens in our lives. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as described by the companions, whenever he was pleased or happy with something, his face would lit, and his companions would recognize this in his face. So in a sense, he didn't have what we call poker face. No, the emotions would show on his face, alayhi salatu wassalam. And they would know by the change that they can see. For example, when people embrace Islam, revert to Islam, especially when they are part of the elite or the dignitary of Quraysh, the Prophet would be happy because he knows that there will follow them a lot of the people and follow suit. Ikrimah, may Allah be pleased with him, he is the son of Abu Jahl, the fierce enemy of the Prophet ﷺ and of Islam. He is the Pharaoh of this ummah. He tormented Muslims, killed them, plotted against Islam, did everything he could till his last breath. Such an enemy, you would hate everything that is related to them, and you would have wanted to kill anyone related to them, even their dogs. Not the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ikrimah, when he heard of the conquest of Mecca, fled and traveled all the way to Yemen. And his wife traveled to him, trying to convince him to accept Islam and not to fear for his life, because whoever comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam accepting Islam, the Prophet accepts that from him. So he traveled back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepted and reverted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy, and he jumped to him and gave him his cloak and took the Pledge of Allegiance from him when he came, and this appeared clearly on the Prophet's face. And this shows you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any hidden agenda. If he were to hate someone, he would have hated the son of Abu Jahl for what he had done. Yet he was happy for him accepting Islam. Likewise, he was happy when Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i came and accepted Islam. The Prophet alayhi salat was salam smiled in his face, and his face was lit when he announced that he came as Muslim. Likewise, whenever the Prophet alayhi salat was salam learned something, knew that would confirm a fact that people denied, he would be happy. We spoke before about his adopted son, Zayd ibn Haritha, may Allah be pleased with him, who was his son till adoption was abolished in Islam. The Prophet loved him as a real son and continued to love him. Zayd was, when described, as white as cotton. The Prophet married him to an Abyssinian slave woman who took care of the Prophet when he was young, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you can imagine how old she was. And she gave birth to a young boy by the name of Usama. However, Usama was as black as night. So people usually hinted that, Usama is not the legitimate son of Zayd. Zayd is white, Caucasian, and Usama is black. How could that be? And the Prophet ﷺ was discomforted by such comments. And he did not like this. He loved Usama and his father Zayd dearly, like a son and a grandson. Until one day, one of the trackers, his name was Mujazziz al-Madlaji, entered the house of the Prophet ﷺ when Usama and his father Zayd were lying down, covering their faces, only their feet showing from underneath the blanket. Two white feet, two black feet. As a tracker, as someone who has insight of tracking people, knowing things, they have this ability and gift from Allah. And he did not know the story behind Usama and his father and what the people say. He commented the moment he saw these feet, and he said, these feet are from one another. They belong to one another, meaning that they're related. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy that this man managed to notice this without being hinted to, and revealed what is a fact and the truth known to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but unknown to the others. We all know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was tested and tried by a huge and severe calamity when the hypocrites slandered his beloved wife Aisha and accused her of adultery with Safwan, one of the companions, may Allah be pleased with him. And they started spreading rumors and slandering her everywhere. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dismayed. And for a whole month, revelation did not come down to show her innocence or to reveal any of the truth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not judge an issue by mere feelings. He needed proof. So after a whole month and after this ordeal, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed her innocence in Surah An-Nur in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy it would show on his face, and he would come to Aisha laughing, and the first thing he said to her, "Oh Aisha, Allah has proven your innocence." So he was jubilant and happy with such a relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, as a human being, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was frequently bombarded by his beloved wives. There were 9 of them, and they all demanded more money. Not to the extent that they wanted to buy Versace or whatever. They just wanted a normal life. We know the hardship the Prophet ﷺ and his family went through. When Mother Aisha said that we would pass 2 months, 2 months would pass upon us without lighting any fire in the house or cooking. And what did you feed upon? She says, water and dates for 2 months. So you can imagine the hardship, especially for women who came from rich families, like those whom the Prophet had married to, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they came and complained, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was angered by their consistency in demanding and demanding. So he took a pledge not to come close to them for a whole month. And he took a small room in the masjid and kept himself in seclusion from all of his wives. And everybody was thinking that he's going to divorce them. After this month was over, he went, alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah has revealed to him, and gave his wives the choice. And among them was Aisha. So Allah says, O Prophet of Allah, say to your wives, if you want this worldly life and it's adornment, come. I will provide for you and set you free. I'll divorce you. But if you want Allah and His Messenger and the hereafter, then know that Allah has prepared for those who do good among you a great, huge reward. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, listen, Aisha, I'd like to mention something to you, but don't give me an answer before consulting your parents. And he recited the ayah. So he gave her the choice. And she said to him, why would I consult my parents? I want Allah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was so happy with that, it could show on his face, because this is what he wanted. He loved his wives, but this is his mission in life. This is his lifestyle. This is how Allah made him, and he cannot rest with the adornment of life coming to him like everyone else. Among the things that made him happy, alayhi salatu wasalam, were confirmation of things about the future, prophecies that he told his companions. Of course, all of his companions believed him, undoubtedly. But sometimes it would be nice, it would feel nice, if you get a confirmation that would reiterate what you had told them earlier. And this happened when Tamim ad-Dari, may Allah be pleased with him, came and he told the Prophet ﷺ about his encounter of the Antichrist, al-Masih ad-Dajjal, on an island, and some of the prophecies that he gave, and it coincided exactly with what the Prophet ﷺ had told them about earlier. And it fit like a glove. So the Prophet gathered all the Muslims, all the companions in the masjid, and he told them, Tamim was a Christian, and he encountered few things while on a sea journey that coincide with what I told you earlier. And he told them exactly in the very long hadith how Tamim met Ad-Dajjal and how the Dajjal explained to them about the lake of Tabariya, about this, about that, how many days he's going to spend on earth. Then the Prophet said, had I not told you about this before? And they said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, you told us exactly these things before the story of Tamim. So the Prophet ﷺ was happy that this hadith of Tamim coincided with whatever he used to tell them about Mecca and Medina and the Antichrist. The Prophet ﷺ also was happy whenever something good happened to any of his companions. Ka'b ibn Malik, for example, one of the three poets of the Prophet ﷺ, when he did not catch up with the expedition with the Prophet ﷺ to Tabuk on the ninth year of Hijrah, and the Prophet came back, the hypocrites came to give their apologies. Oh, we could not come and catch up with you because this, because of that. And the Prophet would accept their apologies. Ka'b ibn Malik and two other men from the companions said, O Prophet of Allah, we will not lie. We had no excuse. So the Prophet ordered the companions not to speak to them. For 50 days, they were boycotted by the whole of Medina. Nobody would communicate with them or say salam or talk with them until Allah revealed His acceptance of their repentance. So when this happened, the Prophet ﷺ called Ka'b, and Ka'b came, and the Prophet's face was lit with joy and happiness, and it says, have the glad tiding, O Ka'b, with the best day since your mother gave birth to you. Today, when Allah has repented upon you. And he said, is this from you or from Allah? He said, this is from Allah. The Prophet was happy for Ka'b. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would also become happy whenever he was supported by his companions at times of difficulty, whenever he heard beautiful words like when Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, may Allah be pleased with him, was with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were about to encounter the enemy forces, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was afraid that he would not have the support of the people of Medina because he did not give them the pledge of allegiance to accompany him outside of Medina outskirts, but rather to defend him while being within the limits of Medina. So when he had to go out and fight, he was hesitant, he was afraid. Maybe they won't back me up. So Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, may Allah be pleased with him, said to him, O Prophet of Allah, we will not say to you like the Jews said to Moses, peace be upon him, go, you and your Lord, and fight. We are sitting here, we're not coming with you. Rather, we will fight to your right, to your left, from in front of you and from behind you, meaning that we will be with you round the clock. Don't be afraid. So the Prophet ﷺ's face lit and he was pleased with that. The Prophet ﷺ, and I will conclude with this, was also happy whenever there was a cause to be happy, whenever the Muslims have benefited it. So whenever the Prophet heard some news that was positive, that was helpful for the Muslims and for Islam, he would prostrate in happiness and showing his gratitude to Allah. And this happens only in something that does not reoccur. Unlike what many ignorant among the Muslims do nowadays, after Fajr prayer, all of a sudden after their adhkar, they just go and prostrate. Akhi, what are you doing? Come. He said, I'm prostrating to Allah Azza wa Jal, showing my gratitude. And I said, but this is not permissible. He said, Subhanallah, the Prophet used to offer this sujood al-shukr. And I said, yes, but all scholars say that he used to do this when something that does not reoccur happens, such as the conquest of a country that was in war against Islam and the Muslims, or the saving of a Muslim prisoner and the release, or something that happens once every blue moon. Because if we were to be grateful to Allah and show our gratitude with this sujood for His blessings and favors, we would not stop prostrating. He gave us the sight, He gave us the hearing, He gave us the health, He gave us the wealth, He gave us the shelter, so many things. So we will keep on prostrating till the day of judgment. This is not the way of the Prophet ﷺ. So what you're doing is an innovation. Don't do this. When you receive your paycheck at the end of the month, don't prostrate for gratitude, because this is coming every month. But if your father goes into ICU and he undergoes a surgery, a major surgery, a life-threatening surgery, and he makes it, yes, you can make this sujood, because this is once every blue moon. And the Prophet ﷺ would also be happy and show his jubilation when the Muslims come and give for charity, as in the case when few nomads came into the masjid with torn clothes and signs of poverty over them. And the Prophet was angered by that. And you can see it in his face. So he started encouraging the Muslims on the pulpit to give and shelter themselves from hellfire, even by half a date. And he recited the verses that would encourage this. Nobody moved. Everybody was sitting. Until one man came with a big bag of food and clothes that barely he could carry. And he placed it in front of the Prophet ﷺ as charity. The moment the companions saw this, they immediately ran to their homes and brought all what they can until they made a big pile of food and clothes and things that they would benefit from. Then the face of the Prophet ﷺ lit, and he was pleased by their reaction to his call to help those in need. This is how we should react. This is when we should be happy, not for worldly things, not for seeing sins. When we hear of people coming to Islam, even if they were enemies of Islam, we're happy. When we see Muslims benefiting from charity, we're happy. When we see glad tidings for Islam and the Muslims, we become happy like the Prophet ﷺ.